भगवद्गीता 1.44 अहो बत्महत् पापं कर्तुं व्यवसिता वयं यद्राज्य सुखलोभेन हन्तुं स्वजनमुद्यता। सो हियर अर्जुना इज कंक्लूडिंग हिज आर्ग्यूमेंट अगेंस्ट फाइटिंग द वॉर एंड ही सेइंग दैट अहो बत्महत् पापं। Oh, how unfortunate it is that we are about to do Mahat Papam, a great sinful activity. The sinful activity of Kulakshaya, of destroying our entire dynasty. Kartum Vyavasita Vayam. Vayam, we all have resolved to do such a terrible activity. How lamentable it is. And why are we doing it? Yadraj Sukha Lobhena. That because of greed for the kingdom and for the happiness that comes from being kings, royal happiness. Hantum swajanam udyatah. Hantum swajanam, our own people, we are about to destroy. Udyatah, we are engaged in that. The parva, before the Mahabharat parva, before this parva, in which the Gita is coming. This parva is the Bhishma parva. The previous parva was called the Udyoga parva. So, Udyataha. This is, they were endeavoring. The Pandavas endeavored on one side for peace and they also endeavored to make allies in case the war took place. So, now the war has become inevitable and now they are ready to fight. Udyataha. So, Arjuna is out of his considerate, compassionate nature, contemplating the terrible consequences of war, and at his level of thinking has concluded that our motivation in fighting is lobha, rajya sukha lobhena. So, it is a lamentable motive. It's interesting, vayam he's using. For the last several verses, Arjuna is referring to himself in the plural. That means he's referring to himself, the Pandavas, and he's talking to Krishna, but he's also including in one sense Krishna. He says, all of us Pandavas, how lamentable is it that we are about to fight a war which is motivated by our greed, and in the process killing of relatives is a Mahat Papa we are doing. Now, actually speaking, Arjuna was not motivated by greed, nor were the Pandavas motivated by greed. If they had been motivated by greed, then they need not have waited for the 13 long years of the exile. If the kingdom was what they had wanted, they could have just rejected the rigged gambling match verdict and grabbed the kingdom. But the Pandavas were honorable people and they honorably discharged their discharged the forest period according to the terms of the gambling match. And thereafter also, they were not primarily greedy for the kingdom, as was evidenced by the Pandavas consenting to Krishna's proposal that he will present reduced demands, a minimally reduced demand, asking just for 5 villages for the Pandavas to rule. So, now actually speaking, what Rajya Sukha can come for those who have been celebrated as the emperors of the world? If they get 5 villages, what Rajya Sukha can be there? The fact that the Pandavas were ready to be satisfied with even that. Now, of course, both Krishna and the Pandavas at one level knew that they would not be, that Duryodhana would not agree to the peace proposal. But they wanted to demonstrate that they tried their best for peace. And when they decided to fight the war, eventually it was for the cause of justice. Not just justice for themselves in terms of gaining back their rightful kingdom, but also justice for the dishonored wife and justice for the citizens who would have been left at the merciless hands of a power-hungry, wicked, envious ruler, Duryodhana. However, so in that sense, their motives were not at all due to greed. But here Arjuna is at this level, at this point, when he's thinking, is ascribing the motive of greed to himself, and therefore is lamenting. So we do see in this world that greed does cause people to do terrible, terrible things. You know, there are in history conspiracies made by friends, relatives, trustworthy aides, just to gain a kingdom. You know, one of Shakespeare's most famous plays about Julius Caesar. You know, he had a trustworthy friend, Brutus. And Brutus, and it was Brutus who betrayed him and he killed him. And when he was fighting against his assassins, when Caesar saw that Brutus was also among his assassins, he just, "Oh, you too, Brutus," he said. And he was so disappointed at that betrayal that he just lost his spirit to fight. So the point is that greed for kingdom is such that it can make friends into enemies, it can make brothers into hostile opponents. So many times it happens that when the father may be a big corporate magnate, and when the father dies, the sons fight bitterly for the estate of the father, deceased father. Or sometimes they fight even when the father is still alive. Now, certainly greed is very unfortunate, and violence to the point of murder to be caused by greed is even more horrible. And actually, in general, we want to ascribe evil motives to others, and thereby we want to give a clean chit to ourselves, thinking that, "Oh, I did not do anything wrong. They did like that, and that's why I had to respond like this." So although from the point of view of the subsequent revelation of the philosophy of the Gita, and from the point of view of Krishna's plan, Arjuna's lamentation over here is based on ignorance of the bodily conception of life, the ignorance of Krishna's plan ultimately. But at the same time, Arjuna's, although his analysis specifically is mistaken, we see his values. And his values are that he is not, for the sake of kingdom, ready to commit violence. And Madhusudan Saraswati, a commentator on the Gita, whom Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes quite often, says that the whole first chapter of the Gita and the initial eight verses of the Gita in the second chapter, where Arjuna is speaking, their purpose is to reveal how Arjuna is a sensitive, thoughtful, considerate, humane, cultured person. And these are Arjuna's qualities which make him an excellent candidate for spiritual enlightenment. So, at one level, Arjuna's ignorance is displayed, ignorance of the spiritual knowledge is displayed from his arguments. But at another level, we see that Arjuna is not just ignorant in the sense of being in the mode of ignorance. He is ignorant, he is in ignorance of transcendence, but still he is thinking deeply. He knows about the principles of dharma. He knows about the principle that actions have consequences, that there is papa and punya. And he knows that actions motivated by greed are bad. He is considering his duties towards his relatives. And based on a consideration of the consequences of his actions, he is coming to a decision. Now, the scriptures are so vast and their import is so deep that often even a person like Arjuna may miss the conclusion of the scripture. And that's why his reasoning may come to a wrong conclusion. But still, the capacity for reasoning that he displays over here is commendable. And the fact that although he's a warrior who can fight with blinding speed and who is excellent, super excellent, the champion archer at his time, of his times, and yet he is so deeply considering the consequences of his actions, shows his caliber. And that caliber is very deep. It's not just the caliber of brute force or even brute skill. It is a caliber of deep thought, of deep thoughtfulness. And based on this thoughtfulness, he has come to a conclusion that and the conclusion which he has come to is also requires a huge amount of humility. To even when we get depressed, at that time often we try to pass the buck to others, blame others. But here Arjuna is not seeing, he's not saying, oh, the Kauravas have caused the war and it is their greed that is to be blamed. He is taking the responsibility on himself. Now, actually speaking, the responsibility does not begin to him, belong to him. The cause of the war are the Kauravas, not the Pandavas. And the fact that Arjuna is ready to blame himself. Now, if that thing happens in a chronically depressed person, where the person unnecessarily blames oneself and beats oneself down and goes into inferiority complex, that is unhealthy. But the capacity for reasoning, the willingness to accept responsibility for actions, and the willingness to hold oneself responsible, all these are indicative of a person of strong character. And that strong character of Arjuna will stand him in excellent stead when he receives the spiritual wisdom of the Gita. And with that spiritual wisdom, he will become divinely empowered so that his brilliant skill in archery will be used in the service of the Transcendental Lord for doing the good of all of humanity. So thus Arjuna here exhibits the characteristics of a thoughtful, sensitive, learned, considerate person who is a fit candidate for spiritual enlightenment. Thank you.